To be with you again today, I trust that you're having a great day in Christ. What would you think if I were to say to you that you could be free from sin's reign in your life? Reign, as in R-E-I-G-N, sin's control of your life. What if you could be free from anger? What if you could be free from resentment? What if you could be free from self-rejection? What if you could be free from self-pity? What if you could be free from unforgiveness? What if you could be free from pride? What if you could be freed from fear? What if you could be freed from bitterness? What if you could be freed from lust? What if you could be freed, etc., etc., etc.? What if you could be freed from being controlled by moods? Be freed from having attitudes, being freed from being critical, being freed from slandering people, talking about people. What would that be like? What would you pay to see that happen? Well, here's the good news. Someone's already paid for that to happen. And in Christ, it has already occurred. The sad reality is that the enemy has robbed us, the body of Christ, of revelation of the finished work of Christ on the cross that set us free from sin's reign. It's important that we understand this. Someone has said this statement, and I'll just read it to you. Human failure, in every sense, past, present, and future. Human failure, in every tense and sense of the word, was dealt with in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that, and we'll look at some verses in Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6. Of course, we can't do an in-depth thing with this. We may look at this in the days ahead, one sin issue at a time, and show you how this applies to that particular area in your life. But let me just read a few things to you. This is what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. And the law came in that transgressions might increase. In other words, the law exposes sin. Man's best effort to be good, all that ever does is expose our sin. And the law came in that transgressions might increase. But where sin increased, grace abounds all the more. I'm so grateful for that, aren't you? That when we blow it, God's grace is there. There is forgiveness. It's already been provided for us in Christ. But it doesn't just mean that. It means that where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. The grace to not give in to that sin. No matter how strong that sin may be, no matter how much of a stronghold it has been in your life, maybe it's even an ancestral thing you've inherited. Where sin increases, the grace of God in the finished work of Christ abounds even more. But in light of the fact that sometimes people, when they speak about grace, they only think of it in terms of, well, God still loves me even though I blow it, and we're so grateful for that. What it says in verse 1 of chapter 6 addresses that whole issue. What shall we say then? Or do we continue in sin that grace might increase? Then the very next thing he says is, may it never be. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Wow. Now that's in the past tense. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Now the we there is plural, of course. And so the scripture is saying here, the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul, that we, every one of us, died to sin's reign in your life, so that we don't have to be controlled by sin's power. See, the solution to fallen mankind and our fallenness, our failure, not just from what we've done, but the fact that we still live in failure in terms of sin's reign in our life, God's solution for mankind's brokenness and failure is death and resurrection. And at some point, the scripture says, we died to sin. Verse 3. Or do you not know, and very many Christians don't, sadly, that all of us, so each one of us, no matter what your sin might be, no matter how long it's been an issue in your life, again, that do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, if you're a Christian, you have been baptized into his death. So when did you die to sin? Evidently, in the death of Christ. In his death on the cross, you died to sin. Therefore, verse 4, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the same death that he died, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of the same resurrection in which he was raised. In other words, when Christ died on the cross, the person that you once were, the person who was under condemnation because of the guilt of sin, the person who was under the reign of sin's slavery in your life, control, that person was in Christ at the cross. And when Christ died on the cross, you died in him to sin. In other words, in the person of Jesus, you were taken to the place of execution at the cross, where your sins were paid for in his person, and the slave to sin that you once were was crucified and buried. And in his person, a whole new you, a whole new self was raised up in union with him, living now in newness of life, free from the reign of sin. Now, it says in verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. Verse 7, for he who has died is freed from sin. Now this is verse 10 and 11. This is really powerful. Now again, hear what he said, that in Christ's death, you died. So that's when did you die to sin? He said earlier in verse 2, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Well, you died to sin in the death of Christ. When he was crucified, you were crucified. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. So in verse 10 and 11, two of the most important verses about the Christian life in all the Bible. Verse 10, for the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once and for all. Now, it doesn't say in that verse he died for sin. Now, of course he did, but he did more than just die for sin. He died to sin. He said, when did we die to sin? In his death to sin. Because you think of this in this term. Jesus didn't just die for you. Jesus died as if he were you. He died as you. He didn't just die for you. He died as you. And in his person, you died and taken to the place of execution, the sins were paid for, but in his person, you, the old self, who was under sin's reign, was crucified. His death to sin was your death to sin. In other words, he died to your fear. He died, he took on your fear and died to it as you, so that in him you died to it. He died to your lust. He took on your lust, and he died for it, and he died to it, and you were in him, and therefore his death to it was your death to it. He died to your anger. He died to your greed. He died to your pride. He died to your resentment. He died to your self-pity. He died to your self-rejection. Again and again, he died to your sin. He became your sin on your behalf. And when he died, you were in him, and you died, and he died to your sin. He took on your sin and died to it, and in him, you died to it. And in him, you were raised up in union with him, now free from sin's reign. So this is verse 10 and 11 again. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he's now living, Jesus, he's living to God, okay? That makes sense. But now hear these two verses. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, because when he died to sin, you did. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus. His spiritual life is yours. His freedom from sin is your freedom from sin. His freedom from the reign of sin is your freedom from the reign of sin. He became your sin. You were in him. He became your sin as you. And in his death of that sin, you died to it. And that person was buried. And in him raised up, you're now in union with him. And the life that he's now living to God, because you're in Christ, you're in union with him. The life he's living to God, you're now living to God. You have his relationship with the Father. You have his victorious life. You have his spiritual life. That's an extraordinary thing to understand. That you don't have to give in to that sin anymore that feels so strong that you're being tempted to give in to, because you died to it. His death was your death to that sin. He became that sin and died to it, and therefore you died to it. And now you are in Christ, and the risen Christ that you're in union with is free. You now have his victorious life being lived out through you, free from the reign of sin. So every time that sin, you're tempted to sin, you're able to stop and say, I died to that sin in Christ, and I'm now living to God in Christ. Jesus, your own, thank you. Now, that's just one way of wording it, but it's language that helps us understand what we're saying. What I'm trying to say to you is that you're now in union with the victorious Christ. He became your sin. He died, and you died in him to that sin. That person who was under the reign of sin was buried, crucified, and buried. And now you're in union with the resurrected Christ, who is free from sin's reign. Therefore, you are. Just like you died in him, you now live in him, and he, in his victorious life, is your victorious life. Can you still sin? Yes. But you don't have to, because you're in Christ. And Christ doesn't give in to fear. Christ doesn't lust. Christ isn't bitter. Christ isn't resentful. Christ isn't grouchy. Christ isn't angry. Christ isn't full of self-pity. Christ isn't controlled by anxiety. Christ doesn't have self-rejection issues. Christ, again, over and over, etc., etc. Hear what I'm saying to you. You're now in Christ. And the Christ that you're in union with accomplished your victory over sin's reign. So now that when you get tempted, all you have to do is put on Christ. And again, those words put on in the original language is to sink into. Just very intentionally, just sink, the surrender into him who is your victory, and thank him by faith that in this moment, he's your victory over the temptation to fear. Lord, I just sink into you and thank you that your peace is my peace. Thank you, Lord, that your morality is my morality. Thank you, Lord, that you don't complain, therefore I don't complain because we're one together. Thank you that you're my victory here. Thank you that you're my victory in this. Thank you for my victory in that. Thanks be to God, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the language there, who's continually giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is your victory. Your victory over fear, your victory over anger, your victory over lust, your victory over pride, your victory over whatever is a person, not a formula. It's not something you memorize. It's someone that you get to realize step by step as you put childlike trust in him. Amen? Well, we'll address this more in the days ahead and maybe look at some specific issues, but this is get that down inside of you. Romans 6:10-11. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin and living to God in Christ Jesus. Living his life, he's living to God. Amazing. Extraordinary. That's grace. Amen? Okay. Well, I pray you have a great rest of the day, enjoying Christ as your victory over sin's reign. Amen.